Hi, this is Charisse Kenyon, and you're listening to the Beauty Me podcast, all about beauty beyond the BS. This week, there's definitely a beauty theme, but it's about the beauty that I've discovered in a few of the shows that I've been watching lately. I thought it would be a good time to share what I'm watching. It's that time of year when overwhelm kicks in, and it's also in 2023. It is a very, I don't even know what the word is to sum up what is happening in the world right now. Well, there is a word, it's genocide, but there's a lot going on. It feels very heavy. And I just wanted to share an episode that is dedicated to festive viewing, anything that you've been wanting to catch up on. And specifically for anyone who either loves 90s supermodels glam or simply just needs a distraction. So in this episode, you're going to hear my thoughts on two Apple TV shows, The Supermodels, which is a four-part docuseries on the quintessential 90s supermodels, and The Buccaneers, which is an eight-part story about young American women taking over London in the 1870s. I'm also going to talk about The Other Black Girl, American Horror Story, Delicate, and finally, the Bethann Hardison documentary, Invisible Beauty. Where possible, I'll give each show a rating out of five. Let's start with the Apple TV series, The Supermodels, focused on the rise and rise of arguably the most famous models ever. Naomi Campbell, Cindy Crawford, Linda Evangelista, and Christy Turlington.
You see our photo, so you feel that you know us. When you come together with your chosen family, I think that's emotional.
There's something about that shared history that we have.
I feel blessed that we're here today.
We've all gone through so many things in our own lives.
The episodes are titled The Look, The Fame, The Power, and finally, The Legacy. I've watched all four several times and probably will return to them again because they are such an amazing resource for anyone who wants to know more about what was probably one of the most enigmatic periods of time ever, the 90s. Each episode takes us through specific stages in the models' lives. So episode one starts with their childhoods, and the series eventually takes us to the period where they were commanding five figures or more per catwalk appearance. When I started watching the series for the second time, I also found a really useful kind of companion read. I purchased a copy of the September 2008 issue of Vanity Fair because I knew it had a beautiful editorial on the story of the supers. So as I was watching the series for the second time, I would pause and then refer back to the article. And what the article really made me aware of, for one, was the fact that Stephanie Seymour, one of my favorite models, was kind of erased from the supermodel conversation. It's kind of like she was dropped. Because alongside the big four that I mentioned earlier, we often hear names like Claudia Schiffer, Helena Christensen, Kate Moss, Elle Macpherson, Veronica Webb. But when it comes to Stephanie Seymour, I feel like she dropped out or dipped out, and I don't know if that was intentional on her part. So I definitely think I'm going to end up doing a future video and episode on Stephanie Seymour alone because she was always one of my favorites, one of the most glam, but she had the tattoo and she was just a little bit different for me. Anyway, back to this Vanity Fair article. It actually made me giggle because it features one of the biggest photographers of our time, Mario Testino, saying, "Let's show those terrible actresses that it's all about fashion, beauty, chic," before he corrects himself, saying, "No, not terrible, lovely actresses." Naomi Campbell apparently replies, saying, "They're the difficult ones, not us." And what she's referring to there is the fact that actresses soon took over the front cover positions of magazines, since Anna Wintour, editor of US Vogue since 1988, and she's still there, she kind of came in and swept away all the models. Everyone was tired of the models commanding these prices, and Anna put actresses on the cover. And, you know, actresses have been on the covers of magazines for many, many years since, because so many other editors followed Anna's lead. so many of them just kind of began to turn their backs on the supers because they'd become too super. The article in Vanity Fair definitely seems to back up the Apple TV series when it touches upon the supermodel backlash. It happens in episode 3, The Power, and we hear comments that the supers were getting too big for their boots, complaints that they were now in a position of such power that they could decide which photographers to work with, which hairdressers, which makeup artists. A quote from Katie Ford of Ford Models reads, "It became a nightmare, especially for the clients." So I think what was happening was that even the brands that wanted to pay big money for advertising in the likes of Vogue and Harper's Bazaar couldn't even be bothered to pay for the supers anymore. Aside from this article and aside from the Apple TV show, I feel like the past 2-3 years, the entire world has become obsessed with the glamour, the allure, the mystique of the 90s supermodel. I've even seen it in reaction to many of my own TikToks. If you don't follow me, go check me out at Charisse Kenyon. But I have actually got many videos that are 90s focused. And whenever people comment, I feel there's, whether they've lived through that time themselves or whether they're 20 years old, there's this kind of like magic around it. I don't know why. I don't know if it was because it had ultra glam, the power suits, and it had ultra minimal, you know, Jill Sander ads, very stripped back. The 90s kind of had everything, and maybe we haven't seen anything like it since, but there's definitely this obsession. And recently, trend forecaster and fashion expert Mandy Lee, aka Old Loser in Brooklyn on TikTok, Instagram, everywhere, she appeared on episode 144 back in 2022. So I'm going to share a link for you because it was a great interview. But recently, Mandy stitched one of my TikToks. I created it September last year, and in that video, I asked the question,
"Do you think that supermodels still exist?"
So she's actually stitched the video twice now. The first time she stitched it because she wanted to ask her followers, do supermodels still exist? And she wasn't quite sure. But more recently, when she stitched it again, it was because she finally decided that she's got her answer. She believes the supermodel existed during a very specific time frame. One where social media did not exist. It could not be recreated now. The access to the supers' lives back then, it just wasn't there. Access was denied. You had to imagine what the supermodels ate for breakfast. You had to, most of the time, imagine what a model would wear to a fitting or on a plane. Social media didn't exist. Therefore, there was a distance between the supers and the public. And also back then, without social media, it meant that we didn't have, you know, the Instagram face, Instagram makeup, and we hadn't experienced the Kardashian effect. So each of the supermodels looked very different from one another. I think that's the one thing that stands out about all the supers. They do not look alike at all. Again, back to that 2008 Vanity Fair article, Paul Wilmot is quoted, and he was head of public relations at Calvin Klein in the late 80s. And he sums up the supers as, "Suddenly you had 5 or 6 incredibly glamorous and beautiful girls, and they all looked different. And they were all known by their first names, and they palled around. That had never happened before. It was almost the female equivalent of Frank Sinatra's Rat Pack." So for me, that really paints a picture of the supers as being this, just this cool gang of beautiful women that all had their own personalities, their own looks, yet they really supported one another. Just a very different time. Like Mandy says, I think it was a really specific time, and it just, maybe it was like the perfect recipe that made the real supers super. As you can probably imagine, if you know me at all, I could go on and on about the supermodel series, but instead I thought it'd be better to just leave the rest up to you. Go ahead and watch it. It is well worth the watch. And for any of my fellow Linda Evangelista lovers out there, you are going to go through some emotional moments, let me tell you. The show is well worth the watch. And for me, it's a 4 out of 5. It's a 4 because honestly, this series could have easily been 6 to 8 episodes long. So let's see if Apple TV gives us a follow-up series. Okay, next. As we're already talking about Apple TV, let's just go straight to The Buccaneers, another Apple TV show.
For certain girls of refinement, New York has become too limited.
I quite agree.
He insists that I invite you and your daughters to London.
London. London, London.
When I first heard about the show, I instantly put it in the it's not for me, I do not watch Bridgerton. Like, I instantly put it in the Bridgerton category. I've never watched an episode of Bridgerton. I don't think I ever will. But at first I was like, why do I have this kind of uneasiness about shows like Bridgerton? Is it because I'm born and raised in the UK, so perhaps I'm over that very old school English or classical rhetoric? But then if I'm honest, I love my Charles Dickens books. I love my Charles Dickens stories. I love kind of like, oh my gosh, Nancy Mitford stories. I love certain period movies such as Martin Scorsese's The Age of Innocence. So I'm not completely against petticoats and all that kind of old school etiquette. And then I realized, I think what it is, and this is no offense to any of my beloved American listeners, but I think that some of these shows are very, I call it the Americanization of the classics, and it's a bit too Hollywood for me, do you know what I mean? Or it's a bit too mainstream TV for me. So I was a little bit like, But once I watched the trailer for The Buccaneers, I really liked the colours and I really liked the soundtrack. It's very modern. So I just thought, you know what, maybe this is going to be that show for me when I need some lightness in my day. I feel like as someone who's either constantly creating or thinking about creating, and also being someone who definitely likes the dark side, true crime, fictional crime, gore, I think sometimes it helps to have some relief and have some things that are a little bit sunnier and happier to watch. So I thought I'd give Buccaneers a try, but also the fact that it's based on an unfinished book by Pulitzer Prize winning author Edith Wharton, and it's an all-female team behind the scenes, I was intrigued. So I was like, let me commit to watching something very different for me. I'm halfway through the show. I've watched 4 episodes. And I think if I was really to make it basic, it's really giving me modern yet period when it comes to, say, like a mid-2000s show, perhaps like Gossip Girl. So modern yet period version of Gossip Girl. As I've only seen 4 episodes, I can't predict where it's going to go. I can guess. But much of this show is actually very beautiful to watch. Even the opening credits are beautiful. They actually remind me of the opening credits of The Age of Innocence, which I mentioned earlier. The Age of Innocence credits are all of these beautiful flowers blooming in darkness, and the credits for The Buccaneers are very similar, but just more like neon bright flowers. And of course, when a flower is blooming, it's often a hint at a character flourishing and maturing. And this show is all about these 5 young women growing up. So I really love the credits. And another beautiful side of this is a lot of it is set in Cornwall, which is one of my favorite places. It's where I had my honeymoon. We've been back since. It's just beautiful, like the bluest water. It's just such a gorgeous place. So it's one of those shows you can just sit and watch. From the very first episode, it's a real feast of color as the key characters are preparing for a wedding. And the color palette is just really vivid. It's like these rich forest greens and golds and yellows. There's a gorgeous hint of pink that we see on a pet poodle. For me, the interiors actually really remind me of makeup queen Pat McGrath's packaging. It's very gold and very opulent. Speaking of makeup, it's not really makeup that's meant to be seen as makeup. Instead, the main characters are given this very kind of traditional English rosy cheek vibe. Very highly flushed cheeks. Kind of what we saw in the early days of the 90s TV classic Sex and the City. We also see these really gorgeous glossy eyelids, which are very on trend for right now. And the hair also stands out to me on this show. We see lots of classical updos, but there's also an air of individuality to them. For instance, you might see a black character with an updo that's highlighted by some braiding at the side. So I think the hair and makeup teams really made the cast look young, fresh, and pretty. which probably wasn't that difficult because the cast is all young, fresh and pretty. But yeah, it's just a really nice vibe. I can't wait to see where the story goes. I don't even mind the theme tune of this show. It's a version of the LCD Sound System song North American Scum. I really love that song. But this time it's performed by Emily Kokel. And I'm committed to finishing the show. But if you've beaten me to it, in fact, you can't have at the point of recording. I believe the last episode of this show goes out December the 13th. And I've actually got advanced access, so maybe I will try and watch all of them. So by the time this episode goes out, I'll try to watch them all. But if you've seen any, if you've seen it all, let me know what you're thinking of the show, The Buccaneers, in the DMs at Beauty Me Podcast on X or Instagram. I'll share my rating out of 5 once I've finished the entire show. Next up, let's talk about Hulu's The Other Black Girl. If you're in the UK like me, you can watch it on Disney. And if you don't have Disney, you might want to sign up for this show alone, or at least this show, as well as A Murder at the End of the World. I'm not talking about that today because there's only 3 episodes so far, but I love that show and that's also on Disney. But back to The Other Black Girl.
Nella, you're someone you have to meet. This is Hazel Mae McCall, my new assistant.
Really? Hi.
For me, the show was an instant watch. I'd already read the book by Zakiya Delilah Harris. And while I finished that book, I was not happy or satisfied with how the ending went. I've just got this memory of being disappointed because the book was so good. But to be honest, I can't even remember why I found the ending so disappointing. It was a long time ago. But still, I was like, I have to watch this. Let me see how it's been interpreted for, you know, a modern audience. Also, when I saw the trailer, I really knew I wanted to watch it. The colours and the texture of the cinematography in the show, it's got a really beautiful retro vibe. It's kind of, I think it looks like it's set in the 80s, if I remember correctly. And I really love the styling of the cast. And that cast also features Real Housewives of Beverly Hills member Garcelle Beauvais. Obviously, she's an actress in her own right, but many people know Garcelle from the show The Real Housewives. So I was definitely up for watching this series because I feel Garcelle's been having a real moment being back on our computer or TV screens, because she also appeared in the amazing Michelle Buteau series, Survival of the Thickest. Love that show, and I hope they're bringing that back. And I probably should have included it in this episode for you. Survival of the Thickest, Netflix, watch it. It's really good. But anyway, back to The Other Black Girl again. I was pleasantly surprised with the show. And it felt like there was an element of luxury for me in the fact that we were getting to see a show that's all about black women. And we got to see an array of black beauty. It wasn't packed with stereotypes like we're used to seeing. It was really refreshing to me. And the story follows the main character of Nella, who is played by Sinclair Daniel. Nella is used to being the only black girl at the office. She works at this publishing company that's very white. Her boss is white. Everybody's white. So when she sees a new recruit arrive in the form of Hazel, who's also a young black woman, she's excited to not only potentially have someone to work with, brainstorm with, but hopefully also they can become friends. But without giving the storyline away, let's just say that Hazel opens up Nella's eyes to some rather disturbing information on how she can soften or refine her blackness in order to become more successful in what is a very white world. And that's done through a number of things, but it's very interesting. It was really good to watch. But again, I cannot lie, much like the ending in the book, there was something a little undone about the finale. So maybe it's that fact that I don't like how the book ends and it's got a similar ending on the show. I don't know. I'm just not sure. For me, this is why it's going to be a 3.5 out of 5 for me for The Other Black Girl. Nothing to do with the cast. Amazing cast. Great job. Great styling, makeup, hair, wardrobe. Just the writing. I just think the end just wasn't quite right for me. Next, it's an honorable mention because this show isn't finished yet. but it's the latest series of American Horror Story, again available on Disney here in the UK. I have watched all 11 previous series of American Horror Story. I'm a fan, I mentioned earlier, of a bit of gore, so American Horror had my name on it from day one. Over the years, it's definitely had its standout series. For me, season one, Murder House, was absolutely brilliant because it was the first one. Season three, Coven, which is about the witches, and also season five, Hotel, because Lady Gaga. But the latest season is called Delicate, and it's the first one in a while that I've been really interested in. Delicate is all about one couple's drive to have a child. One half of the couple is a very successful Oscar-worthy actress called Anna Victoria Alcott, played by Emma Roberts, who has a very driven PR person played really well, I think, by Kim Kardashian. The reason I say I think when it comes to Kim Kardashian's performance is because her hair, makeup and wardrobe are so immaculate in Delicate. Like, I will pause what I'm watching to check out Kim's makeup and, you know, whether she's wearing Schiaparelli. She looks amazing. So maybe that's what's swaying me. Maybe the jury's out on whether Kim can act or not. But actually, I've only got 5 episodes to go on anyway. Unfortunately, due to the WGA writers' strike, which started back in May and has affected most shows and films throughout the year, we've only got 5 episodes to go on, so I can't give a full review of the show or Kim's acting. But the only reason I knew there was only 5 episodes is because every Tuesday I would go back to Disney and be like, where's the new episode? Where's the new episode? And it's quite rare that I get like that about a show. Eventually, a few weeks passed and I was like, this show is not coming back. So Googled it, of course, to see when episode 6 was arriving. And apparently we've got to wait until January. So in the meantime, I bought the book that the series is based on. It's called Delicate Condition by Danielle Valentine. It's a solid read. It definitely had me like every night I would go back and keep reading more. But I get really annoyed when I find typos in books. I can't help it as a writer and editor. So there's definitely some typos in this book. And that annoys me because the writer has clearly gone to a lot of effort to make these characters and this story come to life. But one thing I did realize once I got to the end of Delicate Condition is that many of the characters are very different to what's described in the book. For instance, Kim Kardashian's character, I think they've really hyped up that role and they really made her into this kind of sinister character. So I can't wait to see where that will go. But she's not really like that in the book. Also, many of the things that the Emma Roberts character, Anna, goes through, they're much more subtle in the book. And from the descriptions, she definitely doesn't look as young or slim as Emma Roberts does in the book. So a few differences there, but that's what happens when you're adapting a book for TV. I'm not going to give any more away, but one thing I will say is, you know how so many TV shows now, they'll kind of do a little trigger warning, like the top left, and it'll be like this little line that's like, sex, violence, da-da-da-da. But I feel that this show should have a much clearer trigger warning, like really big on the screen, for anyone that is going through IVF, has been through IVF, and it hasn't been successful, or anyone who has experienced any pregnancy-related trauma, because I think it could be very disturbing viewing. And so I just think the triggers should be way more in your face before you start watching Delicate. As I mentioned, I can't give it a rating out of 5 yet because we're only on episode 5. But as soon as the series is fully aired, I'll definitely revisit this on a future episode. Finally, let's end on a truly inspiring and real life story. If this year has been getting you down and you need to see somebody who has been through so much and thrived on the other side, you need to check out Bethann Hardison's documentary, Invisible Beauty.
Everyone's talking about diversity and inclusion. That directly stems from the work that Bethann did.
Without her, the opportunities wouldn't exist for me to do what I love.
She's like a second mother to me.
That one shining light of kindness.
We're all students of Bethann Hardison.
I was so excited to be sent early access to this movie back in August. So, of course, I watched it immediately twice. I just love the feel of this movie. It's a documentary, but it's so exquisitely shot. It is so beautiful to watch. The lighting when Bethan's in her kitchen or her garden, it's just a very visually appealing documentary. And I don't think that documentaries always fall into that category. The fact that Bethan directed her own life story says a lot. And alongside Frederick Cheng, the film shows the groundbreaking fashion pioneer as a multifaceted human. We see Bethan the mother, the industry troubleshooter, the entrepreneur, and we definitely look back at her life as a model and then model agent. Bethan is now in her 70s, and I think she made such a smart decision in making her own movie. Hers is a life that absolutely must be documented so that we can all see what is possible and also what must be done in order to ensure diversity is not a trend. By directing her own story, she has ensured that we see what she wants us to see and to know. And it's not always comfortable. She is not here to paint herself as the perfect mother. This is definitely a 5 out of 5 for me. I think if it's available to buy, I would actually buy this to keep forever. It's just such a beautiful reminder of how magical life can be. Unfortunately, at the time of recording, I did check today. I still can't seem to find a UK site that's showing the film. So I don't know, just Google as much as you can, see if it turns up on YouTube. And if you're in the US, I think you can purchase it on Amazon.com and you might even find it on Apple TV. It's such a shame because I think this is just such necessary viewing for so many people, women, women of color, anyone that wants to get into fashion, anyone who wants to be a model. I'm definitely going to share a link to the trailer for you as well as trailers for all the other shows I've mentioned in the show notes. But if you find this somewhere to view, be sure to share it with me so I can pass it on to other listeners. So that's it. Let me know if you've watched any of these shows or if you're intending to watch them. You can DM me at Beauty Me Podcast on X or Instagram. And I'm also going to post a poll and probably a question on Spotify. So I really want to know what you can recommend for me because now I need more stuff to watch. In the meantime, if you enjoyed this episode, I'd love if you could rate it or write a review. And please do share it with anyone who just needs something new to watch, needs a distraction, needs some beauty in their life. Thank you, as always, for listening. I'll see you next time.